Here we go. 22 before the hour. It's 100.1 FM, WRHI.
The Whiz Kids had won it. Bobby Thompson had done it. And Yogi read the comics all the while.
You know, every time we play this, you know what it means every time we play this?
We're talking baseball.
We're talking baseball. That's exactly what this means.
You play this for the U12 red team.
Everything.
And for Marty Apple.
Talking baseball. Come on. We're talking baseball. We're talking Casey Stengel.
We are. We are talking about Casey Stengel. We're the author of a book called Casey Stengel.
Try to work your way out of this, okay?
Baseball's greatest character. Good morning, Marty. Is he there?
Because here we are. There he is with us. Okay, Marty, good morning.
Hi, baseball in North Carolina today. Everything must be basketball.
It really is.
You're
right.
You've
been watching that USC situation? Whoa.
Absolutely.
Well, we want to talk. Usually we go with the biography at the end of the interview, but I want to start with your biography, which was you were the youngest PR director in baseball history when George Steinbrenner elevated you to the New York Yankees post in 1973. You worked for that team for 10 seasons. You worked for written 23 books, including the New York Times bestselling Months in the Life and Death of a Yankee Captain and Pinstripe Empire, the New York Yankees from Before the Babe to After the Boss. You're in New York City. Good morning, Marty. What a neat biography.
What you've seen,
Thank
Marty.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
When MLB Network took the air a few years ago, they did a lot of surveys of superlatives in the history of the game. And Casey Stengel was named the greatest character in the whole history of baseball.
Is that when you decided to write the book?
Yeah, that was the inspiration for it, because I realized a lot of people had sort of forgotten who Casey Stengel was and what an amazing figure he was in the game's history. He was part of the game from 1910 to 1965.
Amazing. As a New York Yankees historian, was it always the Yankees for you? Was it just the Yankees because of your upbringing?
I was a Yankee fan as a kid, and I was fortunate enough to be hired by the team back in 1968 to answer Mickey Mantle's fan mail. That was my first job.
Oh, wow. That is so
So how much fan mail?
It was a dream come true then, and to still be connected through writing books about the team is wonderful for me.
So as a big-time star like a Mickey Mantle or something like this, which is one of the greatest baseball names in the history of mankind, how much fan mail does somebody like that get?
Well, in those days, of course, before email or anything else, it was all letters. And kids would write these beautiful handwritten letters. Aww. And pop a 5-cent stamp on the envelope, and you could get 1,000 letters a week.
That's amazing.
Did you answer them, or did you just read through and make sure whatever?
Get him to
Most
answer.
Of them wanted an autographed photo or an autographed baseball, and we would send a facsimile autographed picture. So that was the standard procedure. But I'd always managed to save up a few that I had to go over with him in person.
That's
so
pretty
get a little FaceTime.
Well, tell us a little bit about Casey Stengel. Now, baseball fans know about him, but what's your favorite thing about Casey?
My favorite thing was as a player, when he developed his reputation as kind of a clownish guy, he got traded from Brooklyn to Pittsburgh, and his first day back at Brooklyn, the fans were booing him because he was now an opposing player.
Oh.
And he tipped his cap to the fans, and a little sparrow flew out, and it was his way of giving the fans the bird.
The bird, yes. Oh, boy.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh,
that's
so
pretty
subtle.
Exciting.
Yes. What a nice way to do that.
How did
now,
he
was not a very successful manager after his playing career. And then, despite that, the Yankees hired him in 1949. They were then a glorified franchise in baseball history.
Right.
And they hired him, and he promptly won 5 straight World Series and got his ticket punched to Cooperstown.
Nothing talks more than a couple of W's, I'll tell you that.
We do send some of our kids up to Cooperstown for different things. Of course, they're baseball teams, and they get to play up there for the World Series, I guess.
Nice.
Pretty exciting.
The after his Yankee career, when he won 10 pennants in 12 years, he became the first manager of the Mets. So he was putting his whole reputation on the line again, because now he was a genius, and here he was going to manage what promised to be a pretty bad team. And true to form, they were a terrible team. But his charm and his wit and his Stengelese manner of double talk just won the hearts of New York fans and put the Mets on the map almost from day one.
How was his hiring similar to Joe Torre, who we had a little brush with Joe Torre down here in the South when he managed the Braves, of course, and sure. I was involved in a stadium promotion, and I got to meet Mr. Torre, and that's the first time I had met anybody that big where my hands almost disappeared when I shook hands with him. He was a rather big guy.
Well, there's a lot of similarity, actually, because when Casey got hired by the Yankees in 1949, the old guard just said, "They've hired a clown. How could they do this?" And Joe Torre had also had a lackluster managing career, pretty much second division every year. And the reaction on the front page of the New York Daily News was, "Clueless Joe. He has no idea what he's in for."
Wow. Wow.
And just like Casey, Joe's ticket to Cooperstown got punched the day he joined the Yankees.
Amazing. Mm. When you talk, were you the person that kept the stats when you were a little guy with your family, like sitting there writing everything down?
Oh, absolutely. And baseball was such a neighborhood thing that if you said a guy hit 279 one year and it turned out it was 278,
hey,
you lost your talking privileges for about six months.
That's pretty neat. Do you have different people in your mind that you would like to continue to write about after this?
Well, I do, but my specialty is obviously people connected with the Yankees because I've had such a long run there. And it's going to be hard to come up with anybody quite as colorful as Casey Stengel. This book almost wrote itself.
Mm.
You just get out of the way and let the stories flow. That's how entertaining he could be.
Marty, over the years, did you realize, you know what, I'm thinking I'm going to start taking a few little notes here and there and start jotting things down or mentally making notes here and write it down at the end of the day or anything like that to start to remember some of these great things?
I was blessed with a good memory.
Okay.
So I had personal encounters with Casey Stengel when I was working for the Yankees. I was always the one who brought him back on Alzheimer's Day and handled all those travel logistics. And was in touch with him by phone to make sure everything was to his needs. So the fact that I had a personal connection there counted for a lot.
Did you know if he had any favorites or people he liked to play with or work with?
Well, he was all baseball. He had no other interests. He didn't play cards. He didn't go to the movies. He didn't hunt or fish or play golf. It was baseball, baseball, baseball for him. He had no children. He and his wife, Edna, were married for about 50 years. Excuse me. And he was just a genius when it came to just remembering and recalling every little matchup between batter and pitcher, all the things that are now done by computer. He had it in his head.
I'm amazed at many of the people who can do that. That's just genius. You're right.
He lived and breathed baseball.
He did.
That's all. That's all.
I love it. Marty, is this book just released? It's called Casey Stengel, Baseball's Greatest Character.
Not only just released, today is the release date, and this is the first interview I'm doing.
Oh,
of course it is.
Well, I hope we do you justice and make you feel comfortable.
How nice is that?
Absolutely. I love being with you for the first interview.
Excellent. Well, I hope that everybody can pick this up. Do you have a website that features the book?
Appel, P-R, my last name, A-P-P-E-L, P-R.com.
And I said Appel. I said Apple earlier. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Marty.
This is a great looking book there with a good picture of Casey on the front of it. We've got it up on our Comporium cable this morning too. Casey Stengel, baseball's greatest character.
I want him to be Casey at the bat.
It had a lot to do with the nickname. He actually got the nickname because he was from Kansas City.
Okay.
So somebody said, "Where are you from, rookie?" And he said, "KC," and he had a nickname.
I'll be darned.
Awesome.
Great stuff.
Well, the book's called Casey Stengel, Baseball's Greatest Character. We're going to pick up some of your other books. Marty Appel, check out your stuff at appelpr.com.
Good luck, Marty, with this. I know it'll be a hit.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me on.
You
hit
bet.
It out of the park, Marty.
Thank you. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a terrific guy.
He didn't laugh at our puns.
No.
He's heard it all before.
Please get these people out of here. All right. As you said again, he worked for George Steinbrenner when they elevated him to the New York Yankees post in 73, so about 45, 46 years ago.
Right.
Worked for the team for 10 seasons, started in 68, and then produced games on the WPIX television. 23 books, Freddie.
Baseball books. This is a guy who lives and breathes baseball, too.
You think?
I think Marty likes it.
Can talk. No, he and Fred would have a great conversation, wouldn't they? You and your dad?
Oh, my gosh. I think my dad would probably just sort of sit there excited.